Well, thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful day God has blessed us with this morning. And we've been looking forward to being here in Long Beach, California. And we started about 8-9 weeks ago. We were up in New Hampshire where it was still freezing to death. And so I said, Lord, if you could open a door where we could go where it's warm for a while. And God brought us out here about 8 weeks ago. And wow, it's been a joy. And my wife and I and our youngest son, Jack, is here today. And I saw my wife somewhere here. Oh, right over here. My wife, Kelly Campbell. And we are privileged and honored to be here this morning. And we represent a ministry called Treasure Trials. And I hope that I can help explain a little bit about our ministry today while we're here with you. And also share some things out of the Bible that the Lord has used to help me and my family out. Because we certainly have had a trial in the last 4 years of our life. And the most unique thing about our ministry is every church we are privileged to go to, somebody in that church or that church itself as a whole is undergoing trials today. They're just everywhere you look. Everybody's life is affected with trials to some degree. And I can be honest and tell you that I never dreamed in a million years that I would be doing what I'm doing today. I left North Carolina in 1996, and I figured I'd go ahead and get that out of the way because everybody asks you, so where are you from to talk like that? And North Carolina, we left, went to Washington State in 96 and just north of Seattle, and the Lord allowed us the privilege to start Northwest Baptist Church there. And when we went there to the church, my family and I, we thought we'd be there for the rest of our life. But the Lord allowed us to be there, lacking 2 months of being 15 consecutive years. And so thank the Lord for that. The Lord was so good to us, and he has taught us so many things in the last, especially 4 years, because as you know, anybody's life at any moment, at any time, can be turned upside down just like that. And of course, you know, a church such as the nature of this church, and I tell you, everywhere I go, people that knew I was going to be here today said, please tell the folks there that we are praying for them and earnestly for them, for your pastor and his family. And I'm still one of those preachers that's old-fashioned that believes that prayer still works and that God is still in the business of healing people. And to me, that would be no greater joy to see God do that. And if he chooses to do that, then this is the greatest part about it. He gets all the glory. And so, boy, what a joy that is. And I just, again, I'm so honored to be here this morning. And I want to share some thoughts with you from the Bible. And if you want to get ready to turn, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. And 1 Peter chapter 1. And we have been praying for you folks as well. And when called and asked us about coming, I just said, Lord, I just really want to be a blessing to the people there. And I heard an old preacher say many, many years ago, and I heard a message that he had said it just yesterday, which reminded me again of that thought. And he said this. He said, be good to everybody nowadays because everybody's having tough days. And boy, that is so true. You look around our country today, and the devil's at work. But boy, I'm glad I have a God that has his number. And that's going to be the joy and the great day. I'm excited about the Lord coming back because that means there will be no more trials, no more heartaches, difficulties. But it would be nice to be in that new building, wouldn't it? And if he comes back, hey, that won't matter at all, just to see him. And but the devil knows that his time is running out. And I'm excited about it. And I hope it's shorter than we even think. But I think about that day when the Lord's going to step out of glory and the devil is going to be bound and the keys to the bottomless pit. That's just going to be a beautiful sight. You know, when the Lord starts and then the devil knows where he's headed. But until that day, we just trust the Lord. And so praise the Lord for it. 1 Peter chapter 1, let me pray and we'll get right in our lesson this morning. Our Father, I sure do love you. I thank you for the joy and the honor and the privilege to be here at Pacific Baptist Church. And no doubt these are days that we live in that are sometimes uncertain to us, but we know, God, that you have it all in control. And I just pray you'd give us the faith today to believe and to trust with all of our hearts. And Lord, if I could ask you today while I'm here, Lord, would you please let me be a help and a blessing to God's people? And I'll thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And we sure love you. These are some praying folks here. And I believe with all my heart in a church here that still believes in old-fashioned revival and that God can do anything. And so, Lord, would you help us today from your word? And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And I'll explain a little bit about our ministry today. It says in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, if you hold your finger there, go with me to chapter 4, and let's look at verse number 12. We'll start right there. And of course, Peter here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to the saved, believers, Christians. He said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Look at verse 16. I'll stop right here. And yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You know, when I read about suffering in the Bible and trials and difficulties and heartaches and heartbreaks, we're listening to a man here that knew a lot about that. His name is Peter. And he's reminding us of just the joy that it is to know what it's like to suffer as a Christian. Now, I'm sure everybody here would be like this preacher this morning. I would love the day to come today and to be the rest of our life while we're here that we never have to suffer again. Yep. You know, nobody got out of bed this morning and said, Lord, boy, I sure hope you bring the biggest trial of my life into my life today. I promise you nobody said that this morning. And if you did, I need to talk to you because I need a little help. You can help me. And but most time when trials enter in our life, our mindset is to let's see how quickly we can get rid of it. I mean, let's get out from under this trial and or that burden or that heaviness. But I tell you, the God's word is so wonderful. It teaches us and helps us to know a little bit about trials and understanding that. And in my life in the last 4 years, I'm going to say a little more about my testimony in the morning service, but pastoring my church, I was in my 13th year of pastoring, and I went in for what was just a simple procedure, surgical procedure, and never dreamed in my life that that day would change my life for good, but it did. And I went into the day that doctor's office that day, and when I came out and I got home after the surgery that evening, that's when my world and my family's world got turned upside down. And I'll be honest, we had a lot of fear came in our life. A lot of fear. But I love what the psalmist said. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. And boy, I don't know how anybody in the world could make it through their trials and difficulties without God's word. And so because of that, I want to just share you four or five little thoughts that God gave me in the last 4 years of my life that has helped me tremendously to cope with trials and sufferings and difficulties. And this has a lot to do with why our name came about, of Treasure Trials. So I'm going to ask you to turn back to chapter 1, verse number 7. That's the theme verse of our ministry that's called Treasure Trials. When you think about the word trial and treasure, we probably wouldn't put those two words together. But it's amazing how God just impressed my heart through a physical trial that we started out as, and then it became an emotional trial, then it became a financial trial, it became a family trial. Just, and you know, trials comes in all kinds of packages. Oh, yeah. But no matter the trial, our God never changes. And I'm glad he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we should never have a problem trusting him, because he does know what's best for our lives. And I'm glad that God lets us live the way we do by faith rather than by facts. Because if I was going to have a huge trial again come in my life tomorrow, I don't want to know about it today. I'd rather wait till that day, get in my life, and just trust the Lord. Now, I don't know that we fully understand all the meaning behind trials and sufferings in this Christian life, but we can learn from the best there ever was that was our Lord when it comes to this purpose matter. So treasure trials, I began praying, and I knew the day was coming quickly that physically I was not going to be able to continue pastoring my church. And a doctor made a mistake in a surgical procedure while I was in the operating room. And because of that, now I live with chronic pain every day of my life. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This past February was our four-year anniversary. Now, if I could evict pain out of my life, I would have done it yesterday. But I'm not the one who's in control of my life. My God is. And I've had to learn through God's testings in my life and using trials and sufferings in my life that I can still trust him. And that he's never made a mistake. And no matter what we're going through in life, as Christians, as a church, you would rather your pastor be here yesterday. But I think about that. But I'm so glad we can still trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So I want to share with you these thoughts here, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you. And so maybe you want to catalog it in your mind, or maybe a little note here or something that maybe God will help use you. But number one thing I learned when this trial came in my life, it's a sure thing. You can mark it on the calendar. Everybody is going to have a trial. Nobody's going to live their life without trials. It's a sure thing. It's guaranteed. It's promised us that those kind of days are going to come. Job 14:1 says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. I think that would include all of us, because how many were born of a woman? Yeah. Oh, that would include us all, amen? So I think about that. It's a sure thing. Trials are going to come in everybody's life. We might as well just get used to the fact. But notice in chapter 4, verse 12, he starts out the verse, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. And I'll be honest, I must just not be the level where I should be to understand that, because when trials of the nature that you're going through as a church and what I'm going through the last 4 years, that's strange to me. It just seems strange that that would be God's plan. But again, we have to keep in our mind, God's never made a mistake. There's not one thing that'll ever happen in my life and your life or you as a church collectively that God would look down and say, whoops, that wasn't the way I meant for that to be. Because our God's not that way. And whatever God allows in our life, he certainly wants to use it as a testing time to teach us. I say this everywhere I go, trials can do one of two things to any of us. If we don't handle them right, those trials can take us real far away from the Lord Jesus Christ. But that'd be the worst mistake we could ever do. Trials are meant to bring us closer to God. And we ought to let that trial push us closer to God. Because the closer to our God we get, the bigger our God is. The further away from God we get, the smaller God is. But I have a big God. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. So because of that, number one, it's a sure thing. James tells us that. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or many, multiple testing times in our life. So I just started saying, okay, Lord, I really need some help. I need some understanding here, because I'm seeing my dreams crumble. I'm seeing my ministry days coming to an end. And boy, God knows that I loved what I was able to do. I say I pastored my church, but ultimately we know it's God's church. But boy, I tell you, there's no preacher in America that loved his job like I did. And we went to Washington State. It was the most unchurched state in all the United States at that time in 96. Out of 6 million people in all the state, on any given Sunday, only about 4% of those people ever go to church. So you can understand the desire that we had to be there. We're in the place that God put us where church is going great. Things are going great in our life. We couldn't have asked for it to be any better. I mean, every week folks getting saved, people walking the aisle, people getting baptized, new converts joining the church. And man, it was just exciting. It was great. And by the way, it's still exciting today. And if anybody would be excited, it ought to be us, God's people. And so, but we must understand some lessons that I think God wants to help us. So, number one, it's a sure thing trials are going to come in everybody's life. And we see that mentioned here. But I want you to look at verse number 7 again in chapter 1. This may help us to put some things at ease in our mind. It says that the trial of your faith. Now let me just say, we can understand here that our faith is what's being tested and tried. I'm not on trial. I've already been tried. Over 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for my sin debt and your sin debt. So that's already over. I'm not on trial. And that helped me so much because in my mind, ultimately, when this thing kept in my life, I kept saying, Lord, have I done something wrong? Was there something that I wasn't doing that I should have been doing? And we have to be very careful when these kind of days come to our life because that's when the devil would like to change our thinking. And the devil would like to lure us into thinking that we've done something wrong. But boy, I want to tell you, my God said he loved the whole world. And he didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So we could take ourselves off trial. It's our faith. And you think, wow, why would God want to test my faith? Well, I think it's easy to understand. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I want to please him. Amen. And the greatest way that we have to please our God is through faith. So just know that it's our faith. It's a sure thing. The second thing I want you to notice here in our trials is look back at verse 7 of chapter 1. It says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, though it be tried with fire. Now notice third word in the verse 7, the trial. It would kind of allude to us that he's talking in the singular nature, just a trial. But then we go to chapter 4, if you would, again, and look over here at verse number 12. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the... Now notice before the word trial, there's an adjective there. And notice that word. Would you say it with me? It's what? Fiery. Okay, so in chapter 1:7, it's just a trial. And yet mentions a little bit later, though it be tried with fire. But notice in chapter 4, verse 12, it says fiery trial. If there's another lesson the Lord has taught me about trials, it's that, yes, everybody has them, but everybody's trial is going to be of a different nature and a different severity. So, yeah, it's a sure thing trials are going to come to everybody's life. But number two, there are different severities of degrees of trials. Now, we know there's a trial, and then there's a fiery trial. And I don't have time to turn to it, but I'm sure you remember in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three young men that, boy, had some character and some tenacity, some faith, and faith like we need today in America. You know, but yet those men, they would not bow down to the wicked king's command. My hat's off to them. And boy, we need young people like that in America today. That'll have that strong faith. And they can if they'll learn it from us adults, of us putting practice strong faith. But when you think about them, the king said, all right, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace because you would not obey. And he said, fellas, before you throw them in, and I'm sure you know the story well, he said, turn the heat up, does anybody know, 7 times hotter. So I've kind of put trials, okay? Chapter 1, 7, trial. Chapter 4, 12, fiery trial. Go back to several places in the Bible, 7 times hotter trial. And that's kind of how our trials become. We feel like in the last couple years that the heat's been turned up quite a few degrees in the last couple years of our life. And I'm sure you would think, wow, in the last few months, this church's trial has been turned up to 7 times hotter trial. But there's a reason that God wants us to understand that. Because trials do have different degrees. And the degrees of fire, that fire is meant to test it. See how strong it is. Sometimes God says, okay, I have to allow this to come in your life because I've got to stretch your faith. I've got to see that you'll still believe in me even after the trial comes. And you'll still say, I'm a good God. Yeah. And you can still say, my God makes no mistakes.
That's right. Amen.
And sometimes that's why God has to turn the heat up sometimes. So there's different severities of trials that do come in our life. And who would know better about that than our Heavenly Father? Because it was Him that looked out of heaven one day and saw His own Son going through the greatest trial known to man. There is no trial that is severe as what Jesus Christ went through. And yeah, when we look at our trials, we think, wow, boy, I'm in a fiery trial. And yes, they're going to come. And we don't know what degree. Let's go back to chapter 1, if you would. Look at verse number 6. It says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. And notice that word, for a season. Just like we have seasons in the year. Spring, summer, winter, fall. Well, I'm not sure if this area has spring, summer, winter, fall. No, I was here in February. It was 80 degrees. Like, praise the Lord. My family and I, we were looking for a house to move in. Like, yes, I think I could get used to this very well. And I said, Lord, I feel a lot better when it's hot outside. Because in December of last year, He put us in Buffalo, New York, Rochester, New York, 17 below zero. I'm not even sure God's up there or not. Like, okay, I want to go where it's warm. And I mean, it's just these little things that come. But He said a season comes in your life. Now, some years we have drought seasons. And then there's sometimes we have plentiful seasons. And then sometimes it's like, Lord, will this season ever end?
Oh, yeah.
When I went to Washington State, being from North Carolina, it rained in North Carolina, but not what it was getting ready to do in Seattle, Washington. Everybody says, wow, does it rain as much there as people say it does? I said, it does. The second year we were there, 1998, it broke an all-time record. It rained 111 days straight. And I was saying, Lord, did I miss my calling? Is this where you really wanted me to be? But you know, seasons of trials comes in our life just like that too. And we always want the shortest season, don't we? Not the long one. But notice the next words after for a season. It said, if need be. Don't miss that little phrase. If need be. And there's only one that knows the answer to that question. That's our God. Because He knows what you and I need better than we know for ourselves. And so sometimes He says, okay, I'm going to allow a season to come in your life. It may be a season that's probably not your favorite. You may hope it ends real fast. But just through it in, through it all, make sure you don't miss what I'm trying to teach you. And I don't know about you, but I don't feel like I've learned everything I need to learn. I'm still growing. And I want to keep growing. And I want God to be able to continue to get glory in my life.
Amen.
No matter where I go.
Yes, sir.
I can't tell you folks here, and I know you probably have a little idea about it. All over America, people know about this church.
Right.
and folks are praying. And I could promise you that people around America are praying that the season of your trial is very short. And I'm sure you are. But I've learned something in my life. My God knows everything, of course. I like football. I don't get to watch it a whole lot, but I love it. I always have. And there's a rule that came out a few years ago in the NFL that if a coach did not like the call that the ref made, he has what's called a red flag. And he can take that red flag and he can throw it on the field there, and it stops the game, and he says, "Ref, I think you missed it. Let's look at it on instant replay." So the whole game gets stopped. Everybody in the stands are waiting. And here's the coaches. They're waiting for the answer. The refs go over. They kind of look into this little camera and they video it. I'd hate to be a referee. They have to come back out on the field sometimes and say, "Folks, we blew it. We'll overturn the call." Well, the coach that challenged that call, you know, man, he's excited. It's like, "Wait, hey, yeah, that's right. I knew I seen it right." And then sometimes they won't overturn him. I give you that little lesson there because that taught me a lot. My God makes all the calls that come in our life. We should never challenge it. Don't ever throw the red flag down and say, "God, I think you missed this one." Because God's never missed one. Not ever. And that's why we can trust him. So, number one, it's a sure thing. Trials comes in everybody's life. Number two, different severities of degrees. But I want you to notice the third thing. And this is a thing that has probably been one of the most difficult, but one of the most wonderful lessons God's taught me. Look in verse 6, if you would, real quickly. First line. "Wherein ye greatly," what's the next word? "Rejoice." Now notice, Peter starts out on a positive note. Notice he didn't say, "Wherein ye greatly are bitter." And then you go to chapter 4 again, if you would, and look at verse 13. After he says there's fiery trials, would you read the first two words with me? Verse 13. "But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be," what's the next word? "Glad." Also, what's the last two words? "Exceeding joy." Look at verse 14. "If you be reproached for the name of Christ," what's the next word? "Happy are ye." Well, I started reading that and I started doing a study on it. It's like, wow, you're talking about trials and sufferings and heartaches, but why are you talking about joy and gladness and happy and exceeding joyful? And then it dawned on me the third thing God was trying to teach me in the midst of a hot trial. I got to maintain a good spirit. And we have to maintain a good spirit. I don't have time to turn to these, but Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones." I don't know about you, but through my trial, even as hard as it is sometimes, I want to have a good spirit.
Amen.
I get asked everywhere I go, "Brother Campbell, how do you smile and go through what you go through knowing that a doctor messed up your life, messed up your ministry?" And I just said, "You know, the Lord has given me sweet peace about it."
Amen.
And if I did not have a right spirit, but I had a wrong spirit, that wrong spirit's only going to lead me into bitterness.
That's right.
And when I meet the Lord, I don't want to meet the Lord bitter. I want to meet him better. And I've learned here in this trial, number three, your spirit has everything to do with how you turn out in your trial. So, well, we got to keep a good spirit. Proverbs 18:14, I'll just read it for you. It says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity." In other words, you know what he's saying? He said, just because you have a good spirit does not think that I'm going to take that trial away. But that spirit, if it's good and it's right and it's wholesome, it will sustain you. That means it'll get you through the trial. And for 4 years, I have to be honest, I've not always had the greatest spirit. There's been days when my thinking was trying to get the best of me. But I said, wait a minute. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And there was nobody who had a greater spirit in the fieriest trial of their life than Jesus Christ had. Wow, what a great spirit we can have. So mark it down. I want to have a good spirit. Well, the fourth thing is this. I call it the success of a trial. If you'll go back to chapter 1 and verse number 7, notice with me. That the trial of your faith being, here it is, much more precious than of gold. Now, I don't own any gold, but I talked to someone a few weeks ago and I asked them because they said they own some gold. I said, how much is gold an ounce? They said, right now it's right at the $1,800 an ounce level. How many could use about 10 ounces right now? Amen? I'd stand in line for 10 ounces. That's about $18,000. Pocket change, right? No. Hey, I'd love to have that. That'd be great. Well, then I started thinking about it. Lord, you mean I'm supposed to think that my trial is more precious to me than gold? And God says, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. Because you can have all the gold in all the world and still be without the Lord. And still not have happiness. And not have peace or contentment. But if you have a spirit that says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. It'll sustain us through the trials. That's the success of a trial. Probably in the first 2 years, I don't think I could have told you that my trial was more precious to me than gold. But I promise you in the last 2 years, I could tell you from my heart, I wouldn't trade my trial for no amount of gold. Because God has taught me so many wonderful things that probably I would have never learned had I not been willing to go through what He had for me. I praise the Lord for you folks and your great spirit. Just walking on the property here today, you can just sense the Spirit of God is here. And I want to just say my hat's off to you for maintaining a good spirit. Because not always does everybody have a good spirit when their world gets turned upside down. The last thing, and I close right here, is this. It says the last part of that verse, that it might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The last thing is this right here, the submission of a trial. I and you, we all must learn that God is just trying to get us to submit and say, my will is not most important, His will is what's most important. And when His will is most important in our life, He gets all the glory. And I don't know about you, I have no idea how my trial is going to end or how your trial is going to end. But I want my God to know it's a joy every day of my life that He allows me to hopefully make Him look real good. Amen. In a world today that does not know Him. Well, let's pray. Lord, I love You. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for